Let's begin today with the sheets that you just got in the email, whatever it is. Do you have it with us there? Okay, so we'll begin the second paragraph. The halacha, I have developed the fundamentals of this theory in my thesis, Isha Halacha, is an a priori idea system. There's a difference in between reading the Rav when he wrote in Lashon HaKodesh and when he wrote in English. There's a his mother tongue in terms of speech was Yiddish, but in terms of writing was Lashon HaKodesh. English was his, I'm not sure exactly, seventh language, eighth language. I can't even name seven languages, but anyway. So it's how clever a fellow that he wrote in English. But you don't have the same, there's something, again, there's a naturalness, and on one level, there's a timelessness of the Rav style in Lashon HaKodesh that is incredible. On the one hand, richness, on the other hand, it's never heavy. The English style is very different. It doesn't have that... It doesn't have all those qualities. It certainly obviously has to be read very carefully and was written bediktuk and needs to be read bediktuk, you know, his concluding lines of this letter. Should you wish to quote any part of this letter in your article, I would appreciate your citing that particular portion verbatim, which, you know, reflects the care with which it's written. But all that notwithstanding, there's a difference in how to be medayik in English from how one is medayik in Lashon HaKodesh. The halacha, I have developed the fundamentals of this theory in my thesis, Isha Halacha, is an a priori idea system. In other words, it postulates a world of its own, an ideal one which suits its particular needs. I think so far that's what we've been discussing the past couple of weeks, and hopefully a little bit we understand what those two sentences mean. The subject matter of the halacha is not the primitive datum apprehended by our senses, but an actus, a creative performance which results in the emergence of pure halachic constructs. Again, a legal system that reacts to concrete reality, so then its subject matter is the datum, is sort of the what's in front of you. A legal system, the only one that exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's halacha, which begins as a world of ideas, so it begins again with that, again, actus, not in the sense of physical action, but in the sense of intellectual action. When the halacha, for instance, investigates the category of space in laws pertaining to Shabbos, Sukkah, Tumas Meis, Kalayim, it evolves a continuum of unique complex relationships and reference systems which fit into the halachic scheme. In this regard, the halachic approach is analogous to that of the mathematician. Neither is the continuum with which the Euclidean and non-Euclidean geometries operate identical with our real space perception, nor is extension as a halachic category to be equated with our naive space data. So here, let's try to understand and a little bit, as Hashem, we need to and elaborate a little bit. So we know that, right, in many contexts, Tzuras HaPesach constitutes a mechitza. So, you know, sort of at best, that seems strange. And I don't know, I think often people hear this little cynical voice inside, and they, like, give me a break, that's a wall. Two side posts with a string is a wall, and all of a sudden, without it, you cannot carry on Shabbos, and with it, you can carry. All of a sudden, it affects how closely things can be planted. One of the main and most fundamental applications, corollaries of the understanding that the halacha is an ideal system, is that mechitza doesn't mean a wall. It doesn't mean a partition. Those are both English words with English associations and English definitions, and both of which were coined to reflect Olam Hazeh realities as opposed to the halachic ideal reality. Mechitza, in what mechitza means in halacha, is something that delineates and demarcates. Now, walls do that, partitions do that, but other things do that also. Right? It's not only, it doesn't have to be, Fort Knox to demarcate and delineate. So what happens when we, without even recognizing this, we impose, we superimpose our mundane categories on halachic concepts, and they obviously don't align. And because of that, you know, we don't understand. And again, one of the main and most fundamental applications, corollaries, is to recognize that whatever overlap there may be, whatever similarity there may or may not be, but we need to first understand, we should try to understand what mechitza means by not translating the word, but learning sugyas which deal with mechitza, again, as in the examples the Rav gives in terms of Shabbos, Sukkah, Tumas Meis, and Kalayim. This is one of the places where we're handicapped by the fact that you know, our mother tongue is something other than, see, even when the mother tongue was Yiddish, so Yiddish incorporated these elements of Lashon HaKodesh. So in Yiddish, if you're talking about doing malacha, you use the word malacha. Imagine if, see, another example again of where we superimpose the concept of malacha. So again, so we're told malacha means labor, it means work, and it obviously doesn't really, when you learn Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't really conform to either of those definitions, neither of those categories, neither of those rubrics. And you know, we don't think that there's any work or labor involved in flipping a light switch. In I don't know, shaking water off of clothing or something. It's not work. It's not labor. But it is malacha. And that's basically what we had. You know, the smichus harpashios is very welcome. That's what we had this week in terms of rov. That not to superimpose from our world what the concept means in the world of halacha. And as we said, rov in the world of halacha is not simply a, or b'chal maybe, not even a question of probability. And there are many, even when halacha, you know, refers to reality, it's not to be assumed that the halacha is interested in the scientific reality necessarily. And just to explain what that means, Tosfos in Psachim, so the Gemara says that meperos en machmitza. If you have chamesh haminim and you mix them with flour and you give it enough time, so then it becomes chametz. But meperos ein machmitza. According to most Rishonim, what that means is that not machmitz at all. That you can leave the dough all day long if you knead purely with apple juice or any other meperos. So you can leave the dough all day long and it doesn't become chametz at all. That's what it means according to most Rishonim. According to Rashi, meperos ein machmitza means it doesn't become chametz gomor, but it becomes chametz nukshe. But that's a minority opinion. The Machabe Paskin is like most of Shonim, the Ramah says, L'chatchila, we're machmir for Shitas Rashi. That's why it says, you know, on the egg mounts, you know, only, you know, for Ashkenazim, it's only mutter for Cholim Uzkenim, Kemavua Baramah. Because we're machmir L'chatchila for Shitas Rashi. Okay. Then Tosus quotes that Rashi had a suffix. Again, this Rashi is independent of the other Rashi. But Rashi had a suffix about mei beitza, talking about if you make egg matzah, if you knead the flour, the dough, with egg as opposed to water. Rashi had a suffix, is that considered mei peros? Well, no. Maybe it has the same status as mayim. Tosfos goes on to say that Rabbeinu Tam didn't hold from that, and Rabbeinu Tam said, no, it's like all other meperos, and that's what Rabbeinu Tam used to eat. I would pass Shchol Yas B'Shabbos. That's what Rabbeinu Tam used to eat egg matzah. So when the Gaon in Shulchan Aruch talks about this question, so the Gaon refers to a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Again, this question whether meperos in terms of whether mebeitzim in terms of chimutz, whether it's dino kamayim or whether it's dino kamekaros. So the Gaon refers to the Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin that says that mei beitzim are not machshif a kabbalistim. In order for ochlin to be makabal tumma, so they have to first, they need hechshir, right? The zayin mashkim, the seven mashkim, which are machshif a kabbalistumma. One of which is mayim, dam, and it's clear from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that mei beitzim is not machshir for kabbalas tuma. So if you wash an apple, so then the apple is now machshir for kabbalas tuma. If drips on the apple, even if it's levatzon, so then the apple is not machshir for kabbalas tuma. Well, what's the tushah? That's the Gaon's raya to Rabbeinu Tam's view that mei beitzim is like all mei peros. So I remember when I saw this Gaon, so it was a pala. So I asked the Rav Zalman Levracha, and he said, no, the Gaon is bringing a raya that mei beitzim doesn't have a shemayim. You see that mei beitzim doesn't have a shemayim. Or in other words, the distinction between Meperos, Ein Machmitz, and Maya Machmitz was not intended to correlate to a scientific Metzius. I don't know whether it does or doesn't. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know, to ask a chemist. But the Gaon was saying that distinction that the Halacha draws, that Meperos are Ein Machmitz and Mayim is Machmitz, it wasn't that, no, that Chimus means fermentation. It means when the dough rises, and Meperos Ein Machmitzin is distinguishing scientifically. No, all this begins in the world of ideas. It begins in the world of ideas. In the world of ideas, it wasn't intended, it wasn't designed to, again, does it correlate to a scientific Metzius? I don't know. I don't know. But the Gaon is saying, it doesn't need to. And that's what the Gaon said, no, I'll show you that maybe it doesn't have a din of mine. Because Hefshef HaKabbalah Stum is a function of amongst the Shiva Mashkim of Mayim, and you see Claude that Meibetzim doesn't have a din mayim. So we have to be very careful not to superimpose. Again, it would be natural to assume, again, if Halacha were not this a priori system of ideas, not its own world of ideas, it would be cogent, even compelling, to assume that, you know, Malacha corresponds to some, I don't know, that it corresponds to something like work or something, and that chimutz has to correspond, the dine chimutz have to correspond. But if it's an ideal world of ideas, mehechatesai. There's no reason that assumption is not is totally unwarranted. That's what the Rebbe is saying here. It involves a continuum of unique, complex relationships and reference systems which fit into the halachic scheme. So does Atzeres HaPesach correspond to anything that we know of in terms of our mundane world of walls and partitions? No. Does the halacha Moshe Sinai of Gerachas and Gerasek, that if you have a mechitza, so Gerasek says you extend mechitza upward, and Gerasek, and Gerachas says that you extend the mechitza downward, does that correspond to? No, it doesn't correspond to walls, doesn't correspond to partitions, but it's part of the halachas concept of mechitza, which is neither wall nor partition. This yesod, again, there are many, many more examples, and there's a whole new area of it in light of what the Rav explains. But this yesod, you know, that you have to understand halacha, and for that matter, all of Yahadus in its own terms, that's a yesod even without what the Rav says. What the Rav's, you know, fundamental understanding of halacha that he shares with us gives us a whole new realm where it applies. But the yesod would be true even if we didn't have the benefit of Isha halacha, that you have to understand halacha internally. You know, a good example of that is the following. A lot of people struggle with the fact that any authentic presentation of Torah, any authentic presentation of Yahadus, shows that the Torah distinguishes between roles for the two genders, and everything in terms of Avodas Hashem, that the Avodas Hashem of men and women have in common, and what they have in common far surpasses where they diverge, but there certainly are gender roles within Yahadus. The Western world for the past 50, 60 years, you know, has evolved this very unnatural concept that equality has to mean sameness. And if you recognize difference, so then that means that you're that means that you're discriminating. And that clearly is not how the Torah conceives of things. The Torah says no. You can say that Zocha on the cave of Bara Osam, that they're both B'tzal and Elokim, and as such, as the Rav used to say, that means that the Kedusha Yisrael is the same. It's the same B'tzal and Elokim. It's the same, the same in the sense that they both have B'tzal and Elokim. It's the same Kedusha Yisrael. But Afal Pichein, you can differentiate between without that meaning that you you're discriminating against. People come and they wanna package Yahadus, they wanna package Torah in Western categories, in Western boxes. So it doesn't go. So you know, they resort to all kinds of to try to downplay and deny the differences, but they're there, and you know, you should know, and it's not that. It's not that the fact that there are differences between the genders is a chok that we have to accept. Obviously, if it were a chok, we would accept it. Not a chok. It's very much a mishpat. Men and women are different physically, they're different emotionally, they're different temperamentally, often they're different intellectually. It's not a chok that the Torah has different roles for men and women. It's very much a mishpat. Again, so that yesod, again, that Torah, halacha, needs to be understood on its own terms. And you know, if a person stands on the outside looking in and is insisting on viewing things, you know, with a lens, you know, which aren't the Torah's values, so a person is not going to understand Torah, is not going to appreciate Torah. Remember my mother-in-law, Shalom, was once talking to she was asked to speak with a group of high school girls, and you know, the questions which were, you know, being posed sincerely, the typical questions, and the Torah favors men, So she said to them, I think it was more or less bizarre, Lashem, that what can I tell you? I don't feel that the Torah discriminates against me. And what she was telling them is, you know, you're standing on the outside looking in, and you're looking in again through a lens of, you know. I don't know who the feminist spokesmen are these days, but you're looking through a lens of so yeah, that's the way it's going to look to you. But if you're within and you experience, you have this on its own terms, that's just telling you, it just isn't that way. It isn't that way, and you're never going to fully understand it as long as you insist on holding on to categories which are alien to Torah. So that yesod is true. Again, what the Rav is saying is that there's a whole new area where that yesod applies of needing to understand Torah on its own terms. It's not only in terms of its moral values and the religious axioms, it's also in terms of all its halachic categories and all its halachic constructs. You know, a mechitza isn't the wall, and melacha isn't work, and chimutz, you know, whatever overlap it has with fermentation is not that. Hence, the halacha is not confined to mere commands, but is a creative gesture out of which an order of free constructs emerges with which the norm is associated. The halacha creates its world and fixes a unique normative relationship to it. The norm is originally unrelated to concrete events and situations. Its background is a pure cognitive one. So again, halacha begins, again, not as mitzvahs, chiyuvim, yisurim. It begins, again, as a world of ideas. Then within that world of ideas, the mitzvahs and, again, we're talking about conceptual sequence, not chronological sequence in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah. Within that world of ideas, there are mitzvahs, there are chiyuvim. The norm is originally unrelated to concrete events and situations because it's part of halacha's world of ideas. Its background is a pure cognitive one. If there is, for example, a halachic commandment as regards a sukkah, it refers to a pure halachic a priori structure which expresses itself in a mathematical formula, as does electricity or gravitation. It has absolutely no relationship in its first phase to concrete situations or events, as in our case of sukkah, to boards, branches, or trees. Hence, it is fallacious to speak of halacha as a mere juridic discipline. Whoever this correspondent was, so apparently he had erroneously been no critique of his, of him, and he had erroneously been operating with that understanding. It is fallacious to speak of halacha as a mere juridic system. Again, it's not, again, laws don't begin as a world of ideas. They react to situations in life that need to be regulated. So that's a juridic discipline. But to speak of halacha as a mere juridic discipline is a fallacy. Whether or not the juridic norm is a priori or an a posteriori imperative is immaterial insofar as the order of things with which the norm is concerned is certainly real. For the world of the jurist is definitely a sensible, subjective world order. Again, the jurist deals with how do you balance even if it's a priori, how do you balance individual liberty with the state? But it begins with it's reacting to this world. It's reacting to problems, situations that need to be navigated in this world. His task consists only in applying a norm to a given situation, while the halacha invents both the norm and the abstract formal interdependencies with which it deals. Only in the second phase, again, the first phase is in the world of ideas. Only in the second phase does the halacha begin to realize its ideal order within a concrete framework and try to equate its pure constructs and formal abstractions with a multicolored transient mass of sensations. Okay, so now halacha lemaisa, it's Erev Sukkos, or let's say Yom Kippurim, the way the Rama says, and you have to build your sukkah. So now, so can you build your sukkah at the edge of the roof and say that the tfanus of the sukkah are provided by the good asik of the walls below or not? Okay, so now, again, this is sort of how we operate now with that world of ideas in here in this world where we have to sit in the sukkah. Again, the analogy with the approach of the mathematician is cogent. Both express themselves on two levels, on that of pure creativity and on that of application and realization. Again, we saw this in Isha Halacha as well, right? That the Rav says on the one hand, you know, because it's a world of ideas, so then it has its own value without being applied. Drosh v'kavos schar, it doesn't have to be applied. It's on the other hand, that which lends itself to application, so that's part of realizing halacha, is to then operate in this world based on that ideal of the halachic world. A perfect equation between both phases is impossible to attain in either of them. Again, neither do actual measurements correspond fully to the mathematical abstract correlates. Lemaisa, when two lines intersect in this world, they're not perfectly perpendicular, and it's not a 90-degree angle. Nor is the real halachic experience equal in all regards to its pure norm. In view of this, here again comes a very, very crucial, fundamental aspect of the Rav's whole approach. In view of this, we must conceive revelation, the Sina Sator, right? Not only under the aspect of transcendental voluntarism, the fact of God's revealed will imposed upon a charismatic community which accepted it under stress of overwhelming and omnipotent divine authority, but also under the aspect of transcendental intellectualism. God having revealed a method, a modus cogitandi, a way of thinking, a logic, a singular approach to reality which the community, instead of accepting, had to learn, to understand, to convert into an instrument of comprehension of which man, notwithstanding his frailty and limitations, could avail himself. So Rav says, this understanding of halacha, of Torah, it transforms our understanding of what Kabbalah Satorah is. Kabbalah Satorah, we think of it as, okay, we're going to abide by what it says in the Torah. And that obviously is an indispensable, integral part of Kabbalah Satorah. That's what the Rav refers to as transcendental voluntarism. Right? We're voluntarily, in terms of how we act, we're going to conform with what Hashem is giving us from above. But Kabbalah Satorah also means that we accept the way of thinking. It's not just that we commit ourselves to a way of behaving. We accept the way of thinking. The Rav has a very famous drasha. In which he quoted the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Kriya Shema. The Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak in Maseches Brachos says, Lama Magdimin Amar B'Shov Nekoch, or something, that Lama Magdimin Likros Shema before Vayim Shemoa, Kedei Sheyakabal of Ol Malchus Shemaim Tchila V'Achakach Ol Mitzvos. Now, the way the Rambam presents it, which means this is the Rambam's understanding of the Mishnah, So the Rambam says, Umahu kari perek aleph halachat beis, Umahu kari shalosh parshios elu, v'hein shma v'hoyim shamoa v'vayomer, u'magdimen likros parshios shma, v'nei sheyesh bat tzivei al yichon Hashem, v'ahavaso, v'talmudo. So the Mishnah says that we mark them Parshas Shema because it has Kabbalah Samach Shema. The Rambam says we mark them Shema because in the Parshas Shema you have the Tzivay of Yichud Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Ahavaso, V'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, and Talmudo, V'shinantam Levanecha. So says the Rav in this drasha. So Talmud Torah is an act of Kabbalah Samach Shema. How is Talmud Torah an act of Kabbalah Samach Shema? So we understand a little bit that Yichud Hashem is an act of Kabbalah Samach Shema, acknowledging Hashem Echad, and therefore, since He is everything, so His will reigns supreme. Okay, we'll get that a little bit. We like to call ourselves, we get it. Okay, whatever. We keep going back. And we get a little bit that Avos Hashem, which means that a person Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem is everything. So then, that's to him we have to devote our lives, our energies, our abilities, our time, everything. Yeah, we get that also. How is Talmud Torah Kiyum and Kabbalah Samach Shemayim? So says the Rav again, it's that same point that he's talking about here in this letter, says the Rav, because when you learn Torah, so I think he has a lashon there, this is online, you can find this drasha online, he has a lashon there that we subordinate our minds to the Torah, we reject. Well, we leave behind. I think the lashon he uses is mercantile logic. Yeah, that's English for Baal Bat Hashem. Thank you. We leave behind the mercantile. I think that's the lashon hands there. But look it up. The mercantile logic, and we think again with the Torah's way of thinking. So a person's the essence of a person is his seichel, so it's an act of Havasamah Shemayim, again, to think, to adopt the Torah's way of thinking. That's exactly this idea here, right? That the Torah is not only do this, don't do this, it is that, it absolutely is that as well, and we absolutely, you know, have to abide by that 200%, but it's also, this is the way to think. God having revealed a method, a modus cogitandi, a logic, a singular approach to reality, which the community, instead of accepting, again, you can't just accept it, had to learn, to understand, to convert into an instrument of comprehension of which man, notwithstanding his frailty and limitations, could avail himself. You have to think of Melacha not in categories, and Shabbos not as a day of rest, but as a day of cessation, and to think of Shabbos not in terms of labor and work, but in terms of creative undertakings. V'chulu, it's a different way of thinking, that you divide space, not based necessarily on physical barriers, but whatever demarcates and delineates. It's a different way of thinking. On the first level, God appears to the members of his community as king and commands them. On the second, as teacher and instructs them. Right, that's the Rav used to call attention to. That's the Matbea HaBracha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malamei Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Not just no same Torah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malamei Torah L'Amo Yisrael. That's what he means. Malamei Torah L'Amo Yisrael is... Man's response to the great halachic challenge asserts itself not only in a blind acceptance of the divine imperative, again, not just in do what the Torah says to do and abstaining from what the Torah says not to do, it's not only that, but also in assimilating a transcendental content disclosed to him through an apocalyptic revelation and in fashioning it to his particular needs. What that in a sentence means, so we'll see next time when we continue.